Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And thank you for subscribing. I'm 12 Kyle. Check this out. On this episode, this is part two of our two-part discussion on the 1995 Source Awards. So if you missed part one, which was last week, stop this podcast and go back and listen to part one because you don't want to miss that. On this one, my boy Eclectic, who's co-hosting with me, we're going to break down the Source Music Awards. We give some deep insight on the Eazy-E tribute. We also break down the categories and talk about what the Source got right and what they got wrong and if this is even possible to do again. And of course, we get into a deep dive about the quote-unquote East Coast, West Coast beef, which allegedly, depending on who you ask, started at the Source Awards. That and so much more. So sit tight. After the break, we'll present to you part two of the 1995 Source Awards with my boy Eclectic. We'll be back in just a second. And just like that, we are back. Once again, it's your boy 12 Kyle. And of course, I'm joined by my homie, my mellow, my man, Eclectic in the building. E, what up, baby?
What up, what up, what up? Your favorite podcaster's cousin.
There he is. There he is. So yeah, man, we're talking about the 1995 Source Awards. And we're covering all the bases. We're talking about the actual awards, the presentations, the beef, the scandal, everything involved. So if you caught part one, you know, we talked about, you know, basically the first half of the show. And now I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, the things that happened subsequently after that, because there still was, even after, for those of you who heard the first part. Now, if you haven't heard the first part of this podcast, make sure you go back and listen to that. In fact, you probably should stop this podcast.
Yeah, you're messing up. Yeah.
Stop this podcast and go back and listen. Go listen to last week's podcast. So where we left off, we were talking about Snoop.
We had to let it be known.
Let it be known that Snoop, that we didn't love.
Says let it be known? No one says let it be known.
Well, let it be known then.
Shut up.
And as you can see, he picks up right where he left off from last week. So we had that moment. So things are at this point. And what's interesting is, and I mentioned in the previous episode that, you know, it was hosted by MTV's own Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. By this time, when they're cutting to the cameras are cutting to them as they're, you know, introducing the next people to come up to present the next award.
They mad uncomfortable.
Mad uncomfortable. Dre looks shook. Dre looks like he really could just take off and run off the stage at this particular
time.
But
he can't, though.
No, he can't.
No, physically. Like, he can't.
Stop it.
What? I'm just saying.
Shout out to Dre, man. Shout out to Ed Lover, too, man. So that's where we are. And then, so that happens and people are really looking around like, okay, we don't know what the hell is going on. Ironically enough, after that, they have to give out a Lifetime Achievement Award to the late, great Eazy-E. As many of you know, Eazy-E passed in 1995 from complications of HIV/AIDS. And, that was tough, man. I mean, now, for those of you listening, there was no internet. So it was, for me, it was a shock. And I'll get your opinion on it. It was a shock because, like, I remember someone actually coming on TV and announcing, or maybe it might have been not TV, maybe it was the radio. They announced that Eazy-E had AIDS. And like 3 weeks later, literally, he died. Like, we didn't get a chance to see him again. We didn't get a chance to, like, you know, say goodbye or anything like that. Like, it was just, it was like the first week of, you know, February, maybe middle of February, they announced that he was HIV positive or he had AIDS. And like by the middle of March, he was dead. You know, it's crazy. What do you remember about, you know, Eazy-E and, you know, his untimely death?
I just remember, again, like you said, no internet. I mean, nah, that was, no, it wasn't. Damn sure wasn't any social media.
Nope.
Shit, 95? It wasn't even blogs.
Nope. Not at all.
not even a blog, not a podcast, wasn't invented, a pod, an iPod, wasn't even. So you just hear stuff on the news. You know, news is going to spin stuff however they're going to spin it. So, of course, the media was like, oh, shit, he was gay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Because according to, you know, popular opinion and thought, that was the only way you could get whatever, whatever. And then he died. It was mad sad. But the reason why it was mad sad to me, well, one, you don't want nobody to die, but he didn't get a chance to get back with the fellas.
Yeah.
He was still on the outs with the fellas. And so that's the part that sucked because on a personal note, I'm the only person that you guys will ever listen to or know that prefers Easy Does It over Straight Outta Compton.
You're right. You're the only one.
I love Easy Does It. That is probably my favorite West Coast.
And much like E, you wear your pants for easy access.
Yeah, that's right. But what if she's ugly? Easy come, easy go.
Easy come, easy go.
She was incredible.
Shout out to E,
I didn't even know
man.
What he meant when that
no,
came out.
No, we didn't know. We were young.
But it was still great.
It was dope.
But I will say this. That was probably the most awful tribute to somebody that died ever. I mean, they did a video package show like Dang a it. Whole Ren verse.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't even easy song.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
And then nobody come out to be like, you know, shout outs to his people they left behind.
His family, kids.
Yeah, they didn't give him like a picture up at the top of the screen and with the date under it. They didn't do any of his songs.
None.
Just brought out Bone like these was his boys.
right, yeah.
And Bone just did a medley of their hits.
Of their hits, right. They did three songs and got the hell off the stage. That's what was interesting. When I watched that, I was like, okay, well.
It was terrible.
This was supposed to be a tribute to Easy. Like, and, you know, of course, again, context is 1995. So, you know, it's not as progressive as it would be as if it were done today. But, you know, you would think, okay, well, somebody should come out and do We Want Easy, or somebody should come out and do Dope Man. Whatever the case may be, do his.
Like if Jermaine Dupri died, they'd be like, well, here comes Criss Cross, and they just gonna make us jump and miss the bus. Like, wait a minute, what happened?
Right. And Lord. So yeah, it was, and I just looked it up here. Yeah, Easy was admitted to the hospital on February 24th of 1995. He issued an official statement from his camp. On March 16th, and unfortunately, he passed away on March. What day did he die? March 26th. So, you know,
they said the government did it.
I mean, hey, who knows?
Come on, Illuminati, your soul and your body,
right? So we have Eazy-E's, recognition. Basically, they're recognizing him at this awards as a Lifetime Achievement Award, and he is because. Bone Thugs Harmony was a group that he founded. Bone comes out and they do a three song tribute to E, if you want. But
tribute to their discography.
Yeah. I mean, you really can't call it a tribute because they did First of the Month and Crossroads and,
they didn't let his verse go on the shit. Wasn't he on Thuggish Ruggish?
Yeah, they didn't play his verse.
They didn't even let his verse rock.
Yeah. Like, so it was a little...
No, For the Love of Money.
It was a little bootleg. I mean, but, you know, the source tried. that's about all I can say. They tried. So we had that. Then they come back with more presentations for awards. Mm. And the next award that is up is Artist of the Year Solo. Now, you heard us on the first podcast from last week. I read off the list of the nominees, and then E and I both gave our opinions on who we would have given the award to. So we're going to do that again. The nominees were MC8,
Straight Up Menace,
Gia, Queen Latifah.
Well, she had it up to there.
Scarface.
Boo.
Mm-hmm, no, sir. My favorite ghetto boy, Brad Jordan. And Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Well, and what's this category? No bullshit.
Artist of the Year Solo.
How?
Who are you giving this to?
None of them.
You got to give it to somebody. And when it goes to nobody.
Hold on.
Artist of the Year, bro.
Wait a minute. Give me these nominees again.
MC8.
Uh-huh.
Queen Latifah.
Uh-huh.
Scarface.
Uh-huh.
Snoop Dogg.
Wait a minute.
He's beside himself.
So Biggie was nominated for a ton of shit and won a ton of shit, but he wasn't even one of the Artists of the Year solo.
I mean,
Craig Mack wasn't one of the Artists of the Year solo. The Brat wasn't one of the Artists of the Year solo.
I'm not sure how you can be nominated for Lyricist of the Year and not be nominated for Artist of the Year.
None of the people you name, except for Snoop, even was at the awards.
Come on, man. You know 8 was there.
8 was not up there because he would have run up there and beat shot at DJ Quick.
You're right. He probably wasn't there then.
You know, it ain't no damn way he was there. He would have went upstairs.
Queen La was probably not there.
No.
She's probably making a movie or something. Face wasn't there.
No.
Face
come on. What is this? That's the worst category that you've named in the last 2 weeks. That's just terrible.
All right, so
no, I'm not giving it to anybody. No, I'm leaving. I'm throwing the envelope away. Man.
Ladies
no.
and gentlemen, we have award show history. E walks off the stage with the envelope in his hand. He
I would
have
been up there like, hey, and the nominees are MC8, Queen Latifah, Snoop Dogg,
Scarface,
and Scarface. Nah, and I would have walked out like nah. Method Man couldn't. Come on, man. I would have gave it to Eazy-E before these.
I want to say that was around the time where the Diary was out. So it would have been Face for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, but the winner was Snoop Dogg.
Well, let it be known there.
Which make. Oh, my God, man.
And what's interesting is that, and you mentioned it on, you know, last week's podcast, was that prior to this award being given out, the presenter was Puff. Puff was the presenter. So before Puff actually started listing off the nominees, he tried to make peace. He said, you know.
And he was like, yo, that statement that was said that was probably about me.
You think?
But yeah, he was like, I don't have no problems with that. Man, Puff was a good guy, right?
Yeah,
there,
Puff. Man. Puff tried to. He tried to make peace, man. He tried to make peace, and I think. Okay, so let me ask you this: do you think Puff was making peace at that moment solely because he wanted to make peace, or because he knew Snoop was going to win this award? He was about to come up there. He was going to greet him.
I honestly think he was just trying to squash stuff because he was probably like everybody else that was watching the show, like, the fuck this come from? Because, again, and this is important, and I'm putting this in the context of the first ever Source Awards, and this, which is the second year. For the most part, Dr. Dre, Snoop, and Suge, and Death Row, it was Death Row because it wasn't Aftermath yet, Death Row won the majority of the Source Awards.
They did.
94, again, Artist of the Year was Dre, New Artist of the Year was Snoop, Album of the Year was The Chronic, Producer of the Year was Dr. Dre, Lyricist of the Year, something the fuck hell, was Snoop Doggy Dogg. And then, 95, he just won Artist of the Year, so he won New Artist of the Year last year, then he won Artist of the Year again, Dre won the Producer of the Year. So, where's the, who, at anything, I would have went up and been like, shh, we winning all of these. Second year in the world. I would have said that. And that could have, you could have said that, but why? Because Suge can't dance. He like, well, I can't dance, so you want to be all in the face. Who did he think was going to go to Death Row? Craig Mack or Biggie?
Come to Death Row.
Because Lil C's, he went to Lil C's. Puff ain't never been in a Lil C's video. Who did he want?
Right. Who knows?
Puff wasn't even in the fucking Craig Mack video. He had to be talking to Biggie. Total.
All in the videos, dancing.
This is so dumb. But anyway, nah, I think he squashed it just because he's like, what the fuck is this, man? I'm just, and what did he say? He said something like, I just want to make good music.
Or yeah, something. Yeah. He said he wanted beef. He didn't want to smoke. Whatever, as the man. Kids say. Well, yeah, I think it's, you make a good point, man. I think Puff, people don't really give Puff enough credit, you know, for trying to squash it. You know, it was plenty of times where he felt like, or people felt like, you know, he should have really come at Suge or come at Pac once Pac, you know, got out and started running with them. And, you know, he go ahead.
I mean, didn't Puff say that Snoop won? He hugged Snoop.
He did.
And then didn't Snoop say, hey, now that the East Coast, West Coast thing is squashed?
Yeah. Just that fast.
Why the fuck? Two things.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Also, you calm now? So it's cool? It's cool, cool now, Snoop.
We cool.
We let it be known.
Let it be known then.
We let it be known that it's squashed.
Yeah. Okay. Two. So then what happened? So it was a problem. The one dude that you was talking shit about was like, nah, man, I love everybody. Big ups to Dr. Dre, Snoop, and he said Suge.
Did.
Y'all good, we good. Snoop come on there, they hug. Snoop said squash. So why Biggie and Pac ain't still alive? I know the reason. Man. It's because fans are stupid as fuck.
It's crazy. So yeah, so Snoop gets up there, he wins the award, you know, which he wouldn't have given it to him anyway, but.
He wouldn't have even got it. He wouldn't have got on stage.
So we have that moment. So, you know, by this time, things have, you know, I guess, died down a little bit. Or at least what we thought, you know. So
Snoop was calm.
Right, very calm. Like I said, gave Puff a hug right there on camera.
Yeah, let it be known.
Let it be known. So then we have the next award that was presented was Snoop was the Artist of the Year solo. So then we have Artist of the Year group.
The Dog Pound win this one.
You stupid.
Jesus Christ.
So the nominees were Heavy D and the Boys. Come on, man. Don't fall out here, man. Don't fall out here.
Okay, my bad.
Diddly-diddly-dee. Come on, man.
You're all right.
Come on. Salt and Pepper. They were in the building. They were there.
But they sucked by then.
Hey, and Spin was there. Spin was looking so good, too.
Man. I heard about her.
Gangstar. Stop it. Stop. Don't you fix your mouth. Mm-hmm. And Wu-Tang. I heard they were nothing to fuck with. So, from Heavy D to Salt and Pepper to Gangstar to Wu-Tang, who are you handing the award to for Artist of the Year group?
Oh, man. I mean, just like they gave Run-DMC the Pioneers thing, I got to give it to Salt and Pepper. I mean, they did so much for hip hop. And especially that year,
man. If you don't shoot their ass on out of here, man.
I thought it was my platform. I thought I was about to say.
Yeah, you're right. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
You know, get Express Yourself that year, or Shoop or something.
Don't talk about sex.
Yeah, baby.
The mic sound nice.
They should do the Kawhi remix. Nah, man. You can't have taking that thing and Wu-Tang don't win. I mean, it's terrible nominees.
Right.
Anyway, I mean, listen, I love Heavy D and the Boys.
Mm-hmm, same here.
I have no problem with Heavy D and his boys. Eddie F, G Wiz, and Trouble D Roy. Listen, I am an ally. I'm rolling, but no. Because I'll ask, where was Mobb Deep?
And they were in the building because they actually presented an award, too.
Yeah. I mean, Mobb Deep couldn't have been in there.
Yeah, because by that time, the Infamous was out.
I know. I mean, P-Rock and CL Smooth, Diggable Planets, they couldn't have been... Like they could have gotten Beat Nuts.
Or Outkast.
Nah, they was the new. They was the new group.
Okay. I mean, Snoop
trying
won
to get
back
twice.
Well, hey, point taken. You're right. They can't get booed twice.
Yeah, it could have had the Roots.
That's my dream. All right,
what do I know, man? Nah. Yeah, Wu-Tang had the win.
Yeah, same here, man. Like I said, Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. 94-5, that era.
Fuck, Bone Thugs should have been nominated.
Well, they were nominated for the new artist. So,
oh, they weren't. That would have been cheating.
So, yeah, I'm giving it to Wu. I when I saw this category. This was another one that had me kind of scratching my head. Not so much as for why Heavy D and the Boys were in it. I kind of scratched my head on Salt and Pepper.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Because I can't remember what they had out at that particular time.
That's what I was going to say. Because Assault would have been very necessary. No, Very Necessary was in 93.
Right.
That they didn't have. Very Necessary was in 93, and they didn't have another thing until Are You Ready and Giddy Up, and that was 97. They didn't have an album in 94 or 95 or 96, because What a Man came out in 93, and None of Your Business and Shoop and all that shit, and that was 93. The next album wasn't until 97. Well, Are You Ready?
Yeah, you're right. Very Necessary came out in 93, and then Brand New came out in 97. So they didn't even have an album drop in this particular time.
They didn't. They almost didn't have an album that decade. So.
This is true. So how the hell they get nominated for an award? Again, popularity contest, folks. Popularity,
but they weren't even popular then.
Well, you know what? And you correct me if I'm wrong.
What?
But by this time,
Hanging with Mr. Cooper theme song. Oh, that was in Vogue. Damn, I don't even know who the fuck.
Were they on? They might have been on MTV more than they were. Yeah, you got me on that one, bro. No, they shouldn't have been nominated. But yeah, I'm giving it to Wu. Just for the record, I think Salt and Pepper might have been a throw-in. But
hey man, they're the first female rap act to win a Grammy. Man.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. They weren't gonna win a Source Award. That's nope. not that night.
They didn't have an album during the Source Awards run. Jesus.
And not only were they nominated, but they were presenting as well. So they didn't have time. Oh, man. So we have that. And then next up, the next award that was presented was Single of the Year.
Had to be Flavor of the Year. Flavor in your ear. Come on, I had to be.
Yeah. We had.
It was?
Lady of Rage, Afro Puffs.
Man. If you don't do it, man, give it to Regulate.
The aforementioned Bone Thugs and Harmony, Thuggish Ruggish Bone.
What's Tasha?
Warren G and Nate Dogg with Regulate, as you mentioned.
Oh, okay. All right. Then I'm rolling.
And Craig Max, Flavor in Your Ear.
They ain't putting no Salt and Pepper songs up there?
No, I don't think.
Everyday Joints? No. Queen Latifah?
Nope. Didn't make the cut.
Mm-hmm. I'll be damned.
So yeah, who are you giving that one to?
I'm going with Flavor of Year.
Yeah, I would hate for somebody to pull my arm on this one, but yeah, Flavor of Year wins this one, and that was actually the winner.
It was legit song of the that song was incredible.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, what didn't you say? Queen Latifah was nominated for something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, solo artist of the year.
All right, because when we were talking about Salt and Pepper, I remembered.
Okay, gotcha.
I remembered that Queen Latifah, she had an album out since Black Rain.
Damn, they just because
Black Rain was the same time as it came out the same time, so that was 93.
Right,
and her next album wasn't until 98 with that whole album was the bullshit because she was singing and shit.
Wow. So they're just throwing people in this thing
instead of people who actually made music.
Right.
Hey man, I just want to point that out.
Yeah, I'm glad you did because I remember the late 90s album, but I just assume that Black Rain was in this time frame.
Black Rain came out in 93.
Wow.
Because that's what Just Another Day in Unity on it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But, that's true. And
nah, that was it.
What was interesting, and I forgot to mention, when Wu won the Artist of the Year group award, when they came on stage, it was Wu-Tang. It was the Wu Gambinos. It was the Killer Bees. It was at least 70 people on stage.
Staten Island. yet and still, the crowd went crazy.
Yeah, they did. And I think like Raekwon said two words and Ghostface said a couple of words and RZA said something. And I don't even think ODB said anything. It was just then they got the hell off the stage. But it was literally, I mean, if you got time, count them up. 70 people on stage. No lie. So after that award, so we're winding down in the show. We go to so we did Single of the Year. And of course, like I said, that went to Craig Mack. Then we had a performance by Method Man.
Oh, okay. That's when he went in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. A very live performance. I enjoyed that performance. I mean, if you've seen Method Man perform live, you know he gives you 1,000% of energy. He's in the crowd. I think people are a little surprised that Meth would jump into the crowd, but he was in the crowd standing on top of doing everything. But it was a live performance.
Hey, that's the only nigga.
Yeah, yeah.
He was on I Got My Mind Made Up and The What. He's neutral. He's Switzerland.
This is true.
He's safe.
And he also told us that he saw Biggie put in the pad.
Yep. I was right there. He wrote that verse.
Oh, that line, that killed me every time I think about that. So yeah, so we come to the end of the show, and then the we have a nomination for, actually there was one award, I think, that they announced, that actually a couple of awards that were given but they weren't aired. Reggae Hip Hop Artist of the Year. I don't know who. She was there, actually. Still,
Bougie Bunton won.
No, the winner was Mad Lion.
Oh, okay. My bad. I gotta take it easy.
Oh man, I didn't get Mad Lion. Did you get Mad Lion's album?
Oh no, I didn't buy it, but I enjoy Mad Lion. I enjoyed him a lot. Okay. To tell you the truth. He was down with the QDP, man. Come on.
No, of course.
Well, I'm gonna not like somebody down with Chris.
True indeed. And another award that was not aired was the Best Acting Performance. Was given to Ice Cube for his role in Higher Learning. Shout out to Cube in that.
Again, these are awards you have not seen since. Mm-hmm. This is incredible. I wish I made money like you so I could revive awards. I ain't got no money. I wouldn't, because fuck all of these people. That's why I got to do my podcast. I got to give back the old awards.
Yeah, you do. And that's one of the reasons why. And for those of you listening, I actually didn't come up with this idea. Me and my man Dig Game had talked about doing this a couple of years ago. We just never got around to doing it. And I know that you did. So shout out to Dig for coming up with this idea. And I know you did the awards on your podcast. And I know you did 84. And like I was listening to it, I was like, you know, some of these awards, like you just... But it sounds really, really good and really dope when you have awards that fit. And one thing I can say... You know, other than the source throwing some of these people in here, these were good awards. You know, I thought these were really, really good awards. But the final award that was given that particular night that was actually aired was for the Album of the Year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. I don't remember who won it. So who were the nominees?
There was another award that was not aired for Live Performer of the Year.
Was it Wu-Tang? Was it Meth?
Biggie.
They'd just be sitting there?
Yeah, Biggie. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, sitting in a chair. Mm. So, Album of the Year. Again, context, 1994 to 1995. The nominees were... Scarface, The Diary.
Oh my God, man.
Don't do that.
Shut up. Shame on you. I started a small time dope game cocaine.
Hey, man, that's what I'm talking about. Dope game cocaine.
Yeah, that's what he was dope. Not Scooby Dooby Dooby.
This guy. Fuck up. The Notorious B.I.G. Ready to Die.
Mm-hmm.
Outkast.
Then we get an album like retroactively, like four, like three stars or something. Like, go ahead.
Outkast, Southern Playlist, Cadillac Music.
We gonna get high.
There you go. Now you're talking.
Come on, man.
And last but not least, Nasir Jones's Illmatic.
Hold on. See, here's the problem.
Tell me the problem.
Here's the problem. Now, people are not going to think I'm going to go where I'm about to go because you guys don't think the way I think, which is good. I got to back up from the mic for this.
All right.
We're going to nominate Illmatic for Album of the Year. Then where the fuck was anything else from this album in any of the categories this whole entire show?
Therein lies the problem.
Because either this album was not eligible or it should have won everything because it's... Artist of the Year had to be Nas then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Album of the Year, Lyricist of the Year.
Mm-hmm. Single of the Year.
Yeah, how?
Life's a Bitch, Single of the Year.
How?
Or Whose World Is This? The World Is Yours.
Oh, it ain't hard to tell.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you are going to nominate this for anything, man. It had to be. Come on, man. Come on. All right, man. All right, in retrospect, the social was some shit. This is what we just came up with. It was a piece of shit. The whole show was a piece of shit. And it ruined rap. Boy, that's great.
How? That's that. You know what? When I saw this, because again,
where was the Nas performance? Come on,
I'm trying to think. Was Nas even there? Yeah, Nas was there. He was there. Because he did. They did present an award. He did the Mobb Deep, but
performance. But come on, man.
Yeah, man.
Stop it. And if Ready to Die was going to be nominated and Meth was there, we could have got a live performance of The What, because we've never seen a live performance of The What, and we will never see a live performance of The What. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny that you say that, because I thought the same thing when I saw it. I'm like, well, wait a minute. How does this happen? Okay, it's cool and all that he was nominated for, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Nas fan, even though I'm a huge Nas fan, but that being said, why wasn't Illmatic in at least one or two of these other categories? It's like, I don't know how you guys came up with this concept. The categories, I think, are fine. Some of the people that you put in the categories leave a lot to be desired, right? So
I didn't even remember this, man.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you why, because this was the last one. It was the last one to be televised.
Put the album in there. Just put somebody else's album in there. You can't nominate Illmatic for one award.
Album of the Year. Southern Playalistic, The Diary, Illmatic, and Ready to Die.
Now, with that being said,
mm-hmm.
I got to give it to Southern Playalistic. I mean, I got it.
This guy.
I mean, all the players came from far and wide, man. Did you know that?
Y'all know better than that. Y'all know better than that. Y'all know him better than that. Y'all been listening way too long to know that he's not being serious.
What? What are you talking about?
So yeah.
Wait 1 second. Yeah,
no, the players did come from far and wide.
They did.
They came right over Peachtree Street.
Crumbling Herb, Hootie yeah. Hoo.
Hootie
come
Hoo.
On.
Hey man, that's my
ain't
shit.
No thing. You
ain't
know
no
it.
Thing but a chicken wing.
Mm.
Come on, man. That's my city. They represent my city. Come on,
hey,
man.
You know, come on. Yeah. I don't know how they didn't win.
I mean, hey.
I mean, Illmatic was cool.
But
they ain't had no Christmas song on.
Nope. Yeah, fuck. Man. I mean, fucks. I don't know how you even. I don't know how they come up with this category. I would have liked to have been in the room with the people that came up with this, because no, even in that time frame, even if you say, okay, but again, I don't understand how, again, I want you all to understand. It's not just me being a biased Nas fan. If you're going to put Illmatic in this category, then that tells me that Illmatic or some other song should be eligible for other categories. That's all I'm saying. And if you put Nas in other categories, Big's not winning all of these awards.
But hold on. Mm-hmm. Let's play.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Who won Album of the Year?
Notorious B.I.G. Ready to Die.
Hey Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that point, how many albums got 5 mics in the source?
I don't know how much up until that time, but I know the Illmatic album got 5 mics, and I don't see another 5 mic album on here. In fact, let me stop you. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Ready to Die got 4, The Diary got 4, Southern Playlist got 4.5, and Illmatic got 5.
So According to your magazine.
According to my math, Ready to Die might fourth on this motherfucker.
The Source magazine gave it the first five mics. The Source Award said, nah.
Right. Nah, we good.
All right. Okay.
And therein lies the problem. Again, folks, I want you to understand what he just said. He said the Source magazine gave it five mics. The Source Awards didn't see give it
the album of the year.
Come on, man.
This is the greatest hip-hop album we've ever reviewed, but it's not the best one this year.
Huh? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Right. Come on, man. And I love Big, man, but come on. Big cleaned up at this awards.
It's like he had already died.
Pretty much.
Like, he right there, let's be honest here.
He cleaned up. He won the most awards. I mean, it was a Bad Boy Death Row night. That's what it was. Mm-mm-mm. Crazy, man. Crazy. Mm-mm-mm. So that leads me to a couple of questions, man. We kind of touched on it on last week's podcast, but I want to touch on it now. The whole East Coast, West Coast thing, man. I really want you to speak to, in your answer, speak to someone who wasn't born then, or maybe they were just in Pampers.
If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast, hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes.
What was the East Coast? What was it? Because it's always attributed to the deaths of Big and Pac, but what was it? Because it was, at least at this award, it was a diss and then a, nah, we cool. And then, okay, we cool. And then shit really just changed after that award show. So what was it?
All right. In real life, it was two things. And it was two opposite things. Mm. The real answer is it was nothing.
Right.
It didn't exist. It wasn't a thing at all. The reason why it wasn't a thing at all is because the year prior, everybody from New York to San Francisco, they loved the Chronic. Everybody loved the Chronic.
Mm-hmm.
Then nobody hit the Chronic. Then nobody said the shit out of here. Everybody loved G-Thing. Unfortunately, everybody loved Gin and Juice. And and Ain't No Fun. Even I love Ain't No Fun. and I hate Snoop. Even I love that song.
Right.
Well, nobody was dissing the West Coast. And those are the biggest West Coast artists. So if you're going to diss them, you're going to diss them. Nobody dissed them. Mm-hmm. Nobody had a song about them. Nobody turned it off when they played it. Obviously, it sold so much. It wasn't just the West Coast that was buying it. So it wasn't anything. Mm. Here's the problem. With the turn of the, like we said on the last show, this was ushered in a new era of hip hop, a new era of MCs, also a new era of fans. And with that, you had the Suge Knight thing where he's not a music dude. He's a gangster dude. Mm. But he's not a gangster dude that was doing this because he didn't have anything else to do, didn't have anything better to do, or just loved the music and wanted to be a part of it, a la Eazy-E. Eazy-E was a I'm going to shoot your fucking face off. But he's like, I like fucking rapping to women. I want to dance. You know what? I'll fund this. And, mm-hmm. you know, and he just happened to record it. It was like, hey, man, this is going to be funny. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bet. And he turned it into a career. He would have killed motherfuckers might faster than Suge would have. Suge was a bodyguard dude. He was Bobby Brown's bodyguard.
Wow.
I mean, he was New Edition's bodyguard.
Crazy.
But so it's a difference. So what I'm saying is this. Because this dude comes in with his gangsterist people and everything, they're riding for him because gang culture is dumb as fuck anyway. You know, we're going to do all this stuff because we really like this color and we think that's cool. That's dumb. You're stupid. But whatever. The problem was, once these people who aren't really music people, who are street people, start to diss or say that this over here isn't good or they're disrespecting us, then these people are going to rally and do whatever they can to disrespect the other people. Mm. Go to their shows and act a fool or throw stuff on the stage or boo and anything. When normally they wouldn't. They wouldn't even go to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now since, oh, they in town? Yeah, fuck that. Let's go get them. Why? They don't know you. They never done anything. So then this is also when younger folks who weren't listening to hip hop in 87, 88, because they heard it, but they was like 5 at the time. You know, they ain't getting up there about 14 now, mm-hmm. 15. And so, and they're like, oh, this is what it's about. Yeah, forget them. Because back in the late 80s, early 80s, you just liked who you liked.
That's it.
It was, you didn't even, most of the time, you didn't know where they were from. Again, when on Eazy-E's album, when they said he from Compton, Michigan, I was like, oh shit, I guess this dude's from Michigan. I don't know. I'm just listening to the song.
Oh, that makes me laugh every time I think about it.
I'm just listening to the song, man. I don't know where nobody's at, man. I have no idea. You think when my posse's on Broadway, people's like, oh, you from Seattle?
Right. Had no clue.
Like, come on. We didn't care. We just enjoying the music, man. Mm. We didn't even know what borough. We knew the people from New York. We didn't know what borough most of them were from.
Like, and we didn't know how old anybody was either.
No, didn't care.
No.
So the thing is, these younger people who didn't get a chance to experience all of this are coming of age during the "we hate them, don't listen to them. If you listen to them, they whack. Don't listen to them. We over here. Pick your side.
Mm-hmm.
What's your team? Who are you on?" Which was never a thing before. Because like I said, what? I love Shan. I love KRS-One. I listen to The Bridge and then the South Bronx right after it.
Right.
I don't care. Right. I just enjoy the music. And so, but you couldn't do, if you had the same mentality, you couldn't do it. And the biggest part, the biggest part of this is, for some reason, and it's still going on to this day, the younger fans, and then sometimes even the older ones who should know better, start believing all of this shit.
Facts.
And the biggest thing is they try to act out what people are rapping about as it's for real, mm-hmm. where as the older guard will listen to it as entertainment. Mm-hmm. When NWA was saying all the stuff that they were saying, it was like, okay, but I'm not about to go rob the liquor store. But then the younger people that was just getting, they would hear that and say, yeah, I'm getting the AK too. I ain't leaving the car without packing a gun like him. I'm like, he left the car without packing a gun.
Right.
You know, and so people start trying to live up to what people were rapping about and robbing and stealing people to get certain things where back in the day, you just rob because, I mean, you wanted it. But yeah. You wouldn't rob to be like somebody else. You'd just be like, nah. It was a different motivation. You weren't trying to, you weren't idolizing rap. We never idolize. We might idolize their style. Like, nah, I'm going to get a Kanko like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't want to be them.
No. Because it was about being your own individual.
And they would rap about that. They were like, man, if they would have been like, hey, you biting, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? Whereas now it's like, nah. Oh, yeah, you just like me. You also Lil.
Right.
Lil too.
Right. We Lil together.
So the East Coast, West Coast thing happened because of people who had nothing to do with music, nothing to do with the industry, started choosing sides and started playing up and living up to what the people were talking about and the lyrics when they didn't even mean any of the stuff. And then once that happened, some of the people started rhyming and doing things of that nature to not lose their fans or try to make sure that people thought that they was authentic. And so like, nah, we really up here. We really doing this. Where in real life, no one does. It's like Harris once said, if you're a gangster, why are you rapping?
This is true. It's so true.
Anytime you were really going to do some dirt, you wouldn't rap about it.
Nope.
Case in point, Cool C and Steady B on Death Row. They ain't never rapped about doing no things. They ain't never said nothing about a gun in their raps.
Never. Talk about a glamorous life.
But they was on that. They did that. But only an idiot would rhyme about it.
Yeah, you implicate yourself.
Yeah. Ghostface spent time on Rikers, but he didn't rhyme about what he did.
Nope.
It was just, hey, yo, why you got... ain't really on the 36 Chambers album so much. Come to find out, he was locked up.
Sure was.
He had verses.
Right. It didn't matter. Yep.
But, you know, later on, that would have made him cool as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, people are like, hey, you got out of here. So, but, you know, years later, we went, nah, that's the real one. He the real one because he went to jail.
It definitely changed. It changed everything. It changed the way people thought. And I know at this time when the Source Wars happened, like you mentioned on the first podcast, you and I both, we were in college at the time. You were at Grambling State and I was at South Carolina State. So, and I want to go back to something you just said, which is very interesting, as far as people changing about how they viewed it and how they decided who they were going to listen to. I know where you stand, but your crew, your friends, the people that you ran with Grambling, maybe your homeboys back home. Did you see where, with this whole East Coast, West Coast thing, were there any people that you ran with or knew that they kind of drew a line and said, well, it was like, okay, well, I like Snoop and Dre. I ain't fucking with Big and Puff. Did you have people like that in your area?
Not necessarily, to an extent.
Okay.
In school, it was different because in school, it's an empire. Yeah. Everybody's from everywhere.
Yeah, true.
So you're going to hear everything. I mean, you go into student union, they were playing All Eyes on Me, and then they were playing, you know, Nas and Biggie. Mm-hmm. So it was like, whatever, you know, that's how I heard. If it were left to my own devices, I might not have ever heard some of those songs. I damn sure wouldn't have heard any of the Master P stuff. I wouldn't have known what Bout It, Bout It. It is because of Grambling that I learned that Bout It rhymes with Rowdy. Oh, I did shit. Not know I that Bout It and Rowdy rhymed. But boy, thank you. Thank you, Percy Miller.
I never really thought about that. But yeah, being in Grambling, yeah, you would be exposed to Master P.
I will never forget one day walking from class, going back to the dorm, and this Cadillac was going down the street beside me playing some really, really loud, fucked up music. Mm. And I was like, this dude is bold as fuck for playing that shit so loud, and his cassette deck is trash. What? Screw.
Wow. Oh. Wow. Oh. Another chopped and screwed. Wow.
I was like, oh, it's supposed to sound like that. I was like, his shit's fucked up, and he cranked it.
Yeah, I didn't like it the first time I heard it. I ain't like it the second time I heard it.
I'm just saying. So college is different, but some of the people back home, they went towards the West Coast stuff and okay. and the Southern stuff for the most part. I've always been, you know, New York centric person. Mm-hmm. People say I'm biased, but I liked. Well, it's like my favorite shits is like different. Like mm-hmm. Easy, like I said, Easy Does is my favorite joint. I love, 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 love. If Eazy-E and NWA never existed, I would have been 100% King T. I love King T.
Wow. You and my Jay Fresh are the only King T fans I know.
Like Act a Fool, the album Act a Fool is incredible.
Yeah, he had Act a Fool. We used to play it all the time in the car.
And I love Above the Law too. Shout out to Cool 187.
Go 187. Chaos, yes, sir. Yes,
Total
sir.
Chaos, Go Mac and Lay Law. But and then like you said, Big Mike on the South. I like because I like people that can rap.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm weird. I don't go off. Even though it's the buzzword, now I don't go off the vibes. I want to hear something. Right. But the East Coast, West Coast thing, it had a lot to do with people who had nothing to do with music. And then once those people started making it seem like it's a thing, some people, Tupac, started changing how they acted and bought into that stuff, which in my brain, I don't think he even believed in this stuff. He was just playing a part right. Because remember, he's an actor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I agree.
So he's doing all that stuff, just like weak-minded Snoop was doing this stuff for 5 minutes on stage. Now all of a sudden, he was cool.
Let it be known then.
It's the way you stupid.
And so since the East Coast dudes, they didn't care, man. They were like, man, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, I think
it was actors, man. Acting, playing a part.
I agree with you, man. I had some people, again, being on a college campus and then being in the South. I had some cats that I knew that just they rode. You know, it was like, man, we riding for the West Coast, and they just started despising Puff and Big, and I'm like, we don't know these people. You know, it's like. Right. I don't, you know, we just know what we see on TV. And, you know, we had very limited access, as to what people were doing. I thought, and I mentioned this on a previous podcast about Big and Pac, was that, you know, I didn't like the fact that magazine publications like Vibe magazine in particular, you know, really, really pushed the agenda of a quote unquote East Coast, West Coast beef. Mm-hmm. You know, and they, you know, with the covers that they did and the stories that they did, you know, it was, and I thought that was big because at that particular time, all we had was print media. you know, keep in mind, there was no internet, there was no social media. You know, now you could diss somebody on IG and the whole world will know about it, but, you know, you might get a quote from Tupac or you might get a quote from Big and surround that quote with your own narrative of a story. And if you don't read the story correctly, if you don't read it in its entirety, you'll take bits and pieces, or you might even just look at, you might be in the grocery store and you see the Vibe magazine at the rack as you're checking out. And you see a quote where Puff says, you know, we ain't worried about them. We, you know, we're bad boys and we're East Coast for life. And you may never read the article. You just see that on the cover and you're thinking, okay, well, this is the cover. Puffy's on the cover. Biggie's on the cover. This is how they really feel. So they're basically saying, fuck West Coast. And so I think it goes back to what you said. It was a lot of people, you know, perpetuating something that really wasn't. It was a bunch of nothing about nothing. That's what it was.
Also, so people are stupid. And the reason why I say this is because how do you beef with a whole coast?
Whole coast. And we don't own none of it.
And when you think about it, it was really like L.A.
Yeah.
It wasn't the coast.
No.
And it was just L.A., a part of L.A. with one record label.
Yeah.
It wasn't the coast.
Because we weren't beefing with Sacramento. No,
and nobody else outside of Bad Boy or Death Row was saying anything about anybody else. It wasn't fucking Nas wasn't going after King T. You know what I'm saying? Because think about it. Quick and 8 were beefing.
Yeah. And he dissed them.
Dre and Easy was beefing.
Mm.
They was doing enough beef for themselves. They had nothing to do with New York.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So they were beefing with themselves. It wasn't a West Coast thing. Then nobody had shit to say about fucking Washington State. ain't nobody saying nothing about them.
Now you look here, Oregon.
Yeah. What the fuck are you talking
We got something to say about Portland.
Also, Redman didn't get no shrapnel. New Jersey didn't get no shrapnel. Mm-hmm. Philly didn't get no shrapnel. They went the East Coast. They went a beef out there.
Nah.
So this is why people, but again, people still, they didn't think about this like this. Also, they are further away from the roots of rapping.
That's true.
Rapping and battling. All right, let's battle. Because it wasn't a beef. It was personal. It wasn't a battle. It was personal. Dude thought dude had something to do with the dudes that shot him. That's it.
And then
dude said, nah, I didn't. He didn't believe him.
Yeah.
Or... he knew he didn't have anything to do with it and believed him, but said, boy, I'm about to make a lot of money dissing them and making it seem like it.
Yep. And keep in mind, it goes back to what you said in the first episode of this podcast, was that when he met this award show.
No.
There was a cutout.
He was in jail, chilling.
Yeah. In fact, Suge actually shouted him out and told him to keep his head up.
Yeah.
One other question I have for you about this award. Now, we talked a lot about what we didn't like. What did you like about this award show? What do you think we could take from this and maybe possibly, I mean, for those of you who still...
Well, no, it's over now. Yeah, it's over now. But what could have happened, the categories definitely... definitely the categories, the participants, because it wasn't just who's on top. Put it like this. You could do something like this now, but you would have to do it, like I said, in the vein of the Source Awards, meaning if you did it now, you would have to have nominated and performances by a Rhapsody and a Jean Grey. You can't just give us Meg.
Nope.
You gotta have them out there. You can't just have Big Sean and J. Cole. Griselda gotta be out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta have the for real people, not just the people that you play on the radio and get the spins. So when you do the producers, you would get a nominated Just Blaze.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But like, oh shit, this is for real. Because you'll have people like, you know what, I never knew what he looked like.
This is true.
You know, because like, oh, that's that nigga. All right, cool. Nominated Alchemist. Like, oh shit. All right. I'm rolling. This is dope. This is actual hip hop and lyricist of the year. You're not gonna have Quavo win lyricist of the year.
If he does, something's just wrong.
You know what I'm saying? So if they did the real, I mean, and I'm not saying don't have Meg there and Lizzo or whatever the fuck, but they have their spots just like everybody else do. Because what you want to do, if you want people to grow and you want the music to go somewhere, these people got to seem like they're on an equal playing field. They got to seem like, nah, West Side Gun is just as dope as Drake. And in real life, rhymes way better. But you wouldn't think that when Dre got 13 awards and you've never mentioned the other guy.
Mm.
So I mean, stuff like that. Also, for real pioneers, them Vanguard Awards, I'm like, nah, we giving a lifetime fucking award to Puff. All right, I get it. But let's not start with Puff. Let's start with, hey, Eric Sermon.
There you go.
And then let's run down all the things he did. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit, he produced that? Oh, he did that? Oh, yeah, he pinned it. Because what you'll do, what they do now is they say, hey, let's give the award to this person. And people are like, yeah, them. They never give the awards to people where people viewing it would be like, oh shit, I gotta look them up. I ain't even know they was, I ain't never even heard of them. They must be dope. They got the award. Oh, right. They went through all this. I heard that song before. You know what? I'm gonna go down some of his stuff. That never happens because they'll just be like, we're giving it to Biggie. I'm like, yeah, nigga, we all know Biggie. Like, all right. But if he said, G-Rap, be like, G-Rap.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start playing, so they're like, oh, that sounds kind of dope. Oh, he was the first person to do that? Oh, he did that? Oh, wait a minute. That's his voice on Poison?
Mm.
Then they look at the, oh, he's actually in the video.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, let me look up some G-Rap. Yep. Now you're talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they don't want nothing, man.
No, you make some great points, man. I think the Source Awards had a lot of potential. And like I said, one of the things that I like about this is the categories. Some of the artists that they selected, you know, leave a lot to be desired. But
hold on.
Go ahead.
Because I'm going to forget this. This has nothing to do with you. Please don't forget your point.
Okay, go ahead.
This has nothing to do with anything we were just about. It's just something that I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
You know the rapper Travis Scott, very famous guy?
Travis Scott? Yeah, I've heard of him.
He's a rapper.
Never heard him rap, but I've heard of him.
He got a lot of Nike collabs,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
He's with one of the Kardashians or the Jenners, which one, I don't know.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mentioned at the bar one day. I didn't know his real name isn't Travis Scott.
It's not?
No, why you call your rap name Travis Scott, but that's not your name. It's just weird. But then I remembered, Tupac's name isn't really Tupac Shakur either.
No, it's Tupac Amaru Shakur.
No.
And I think, and I don't think that was his birthday. He was born. He was born something else. Born
like Lassane Crooks. His name was like Lassane or LaShawn or Lassane Crooks. Right. But I totally forgot about that. Like, you just like, nah, it's just Tupac. Like, nah, it's not even Tupac. But are you going to name yourself Travis Scott and your name is Travis Scott? All right, I'm done. Like, go ahead. Please finish what you were saying about the stuff.
You know what? I picture what you just said in a tweet. I could just see you just tweet that. Like,
see, but I'm not on Twitter.
Yeah, anymore. I know you're not on Twitter.
sucks.
But yeah, it's like I said, man, I think it had a lot of potential, man. I think, you know, they meant well, and it was, I think it had the potential to go in a direction. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast is what I wanted people to understand is the 1995 Source Awards wasn't as bad as they made it out to be. But it wasn't as great as it was made out to be either. It was very decent. I mean, you know, I guess relatively speaking, it had some highs and lows. And, and I think we highlighted that over these two podcasts. I think it's interesting when you look back on it. And again, I mentioned this before and I'll say it again. I would encourage everybody, once you've had a chance to listen to these podcasts, go back and watch it. It's actually a pretty good watch. The audio is pretty decent on it, you know, relatively speaking for 1995. You know, you'll be able to get something out of it. I think, you know, much was much was made about the East Coast, West Coast thing. I don't really think it was that bad. And I think we had some funny moments. I mean, and I really
69 boys, come on.
No, really, the funniest moment, actually, I never really thought about it I didn't think about it until you said it. Like, literally, 10 minutes go by, Snoop is ready to ride on everybody in the spot. He comes out there and puffs. Puff extends the olive branch, shows love. And what's interesting is, if you get a chance to watch the clip, when Puff announces that Snoop wins, even though he said, you know, I got no beef, I got love for everybody, he kind of shakes his head like, this motherfucker. Like, if you watch the clip, he's like, he doesn't say anything verbally, but his body language is like, oh shit. Like, now I gotta go. I just said ain't no beef. And, you know, he, and the camera show him, he walks up to Snoop, opens his arm, and they hug and everything like that. And Snoop, they were, you know, everything cool, East Coast, West Coast.
Now all of a sudden, that's cool. You
let it be known there.
And that, I never thought about it until you said it just now, because it literally happened. It literally went from 0 to 60 within, like, and we're talking maybe with a TV commercial, maybe 10 minutes time, if that. Yeah. So it's.
We had to let it be known. We know where we at. We on East Coast. We know East Coast in the house. Well, none of this all squash. You fuck. Oh, you.
And here's the thing. This just goes to show you, like, what happened. Because, okay, if everything's cool according to Snoop and everything's cool according to Puff, at the end of the,
according to Dre and according to fucking who's the dude?
Suge, we would assume, but
he didn't say it. But everybody, he didn't say actually. It. Voiced it.
Right. Everybody voiced it. But then when the war show is over, you know, a couple months later, Pac gets to jail and it's on and popping. I mean, like, I don't know.
Because of Suge. If Suge would have never made that speech or thing, none of it would have ever happened.
Hmm. So you think if that doesn't happen, we still have Big and Pac?
We still got Big and Pog. We still got Source Awards. We still got the Source. We got everything. If he would have never did that, came out of nowhere, none of it would have happened. We probably would have even had a Pog Biggie album by like 98.
That would have been dope.
It
would have been dope if it would have happened before the crash.
I truly and honestly, of course, I truly and honestly believe if he wouldn't have ever said that, nothing would have happened. Also, that awards, just that award show, the amount of people who are no longer with us.
Yeah. Oh, man. You're right.
Craig Mack was there. No longer there.
Yeah.
Heavy D.
Yeah.
Gone.
Trouble Team
John
Boy.
Singleton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nate Dogg was there. Not there. Jam Master Jay was there. Not there. Prodigy was there. No longer with us. OB was there. No longer with us. And Biggie.
Damn. That is crazy.
Biggie, ODB, Jam Master Jay, Prodigy, Nate Dogg, John Singleton, Heavy D, Craig Mack.
Trouble T-Roy.
Yeah.
Damn, man. That's crazy. You're right.
Just from that show.
And again, this is 1995, so it hadn't literally has not been that long.
No.
Wow, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, as we wrap this up, we're going to put a bow on it. My last question for you, man.
Yep.
Can we ever get, maybe not even with the source, but something close to this? Because I've gotten to a point where, just on a personal, I don't watch the Grammys. I don't watch any award shows. I used to do BET, but I don't watch that anymore. I used to watch the BET Hip Hop Awards, but again, as I mentioned in the other podcast,
you just watch the Cypher on YouTube.
Yeah, just watch, exactly. There's no reason for me to sit through. And then living, I think because they filmed it here in Atlanta, I would always know who the winners was like the night that they taped them. So why would I sit through 2 hours of tape delay when I know who the winners are? You know, nah, I'm not doing that. So can we get back to that or something close to it?
There is a need for it. And the reason why I say there is a need for it is because, see, the Source Awards was different than your American Music Awards and Grammys and all that, because Source Awards were the culture. It wasn't just music, but they gave John Singleton's out there. They gave Ice Cube for Higher Learning. All this shit.
Mary J. got an award, yeah.
Yeah, so the reason why I say it's needed and the right person needs to do it is because you're not going to get the award for Get Out. You're not going to get the award for Issa's not going to get the award for Insecure.
Or
Flower is not going to get an award. But all of those would have happened in the Source Awards. They would have been like the nominee for the TV, Insecure, Power, Atlanta, Snowfall. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to get that anywhere else. They're not going to be nominated for nothing else. But here, they would have had a Source Award for that. You would have got, what's the shit that I was watching? The Boys, when Mary J. Blige was on that, the Amazon show, The Boys, she would get nominated for that. Regina King get nominated for The Watchmen. You know what I'm saying? They're like that. Even back then, would have got an award for Cameron getting an award for his movie. You know what I'm saying? You would have got your awards for... Gabby Douglas would have got an award.
right.
You know what I'm saying? The people that's for the culture.
LeBron would have got an award.
Serena would have got all of these. They would have got awards or got nominated. And we're not doing it in Atlanta. We're not doing it in LA. Let's go somewhere new and make somewhere new hot. You know what I'm saying?
Good point.
And make it a destination. Look, we do Hawaii. You know what I'm saying? We're going to make somewhere else hot. And so we ain't going to turn it into, hey, we here, so let's turn up and fuck up all the clubs and stuff, and then it turn into a thing. Nah, we just going to, you know what I'm saying, do it like that. But then you would get a podcast award, the best podcast. You would get the Joe Budden podcast, the Drink Champs, and the Breakfast, an award that would actually mean something. A podcast award. I mean, I probably win one too. But a podcast award, what else? You know what I'm saying?
for the cultural award.
Yeah, Zion Williamson might win an award for something. You know what I mean, but and give these people a reason to come out and be like, "What's up?" You know, 50 might get Executive of the Year award because he got this song out. He did Power. He got 19 spinoffs coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, something that make people be like, "Yo." And then the younger people be like, well, shit, I want to be like them. I want to do something like that. I could do that instead of crack rock, wicked jump shot.
This so, is true.
So it could work. It 100% work. Mm. Have the Bodega Boys be the host.
Yeah. Oh, you know I'm with that.
Man, these are Mero, the host of the boys. Man, come on.
Yeah, they could definitely. It's got to be, but you got to do it right though. Got to do it right.
It's 100% possible, but yeah, it can't be like Oprah can't do it or Tyler Perry can't do it
or Terry Crews.
Nah, this gotta be a.
And no, we don't need Lil Duval hosted.
Nah, we need Desus and Mero hosting. We need the right performers. You know what I'm saying? And man, you can for real turn it into something crazy. Mm-hmm. But it gotta be funded by the right people, it gotta be on the right channel.
Yeah, man. It can't be tape delayed either.
Nah, matter of fact, don't even do it on the if you could actually put it together, man, just put it on the stream service, man. Have it live on Netflix or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just be like, nah. I mean, if they did it right. I'd give them $10 for it. I'd pay for it.
Please don't do it like YouTube did the MTV 30-year award for your MTV Raps.
I mean, for what it's worth, what I hate is they still don't have it available.
I know.
Because it was great.
I meant to text you. I went looking for it like 2 weeks ago. I was like, fuck, I can't find this shit.
I had a ball watching it, but then after it was over, I was like, man, I want to see that thing again. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Not even on DVD. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, like, what the hell are you doing it for?
Like you had to be in the moment to see it. But yeah, you're right. You make some great points, man. It can definitely be done. It's got to be done right, though. You can't mess this up because, you know, I would like to see someone take what the source started and just take it to the next level because it's not what they had, the idea in which they had. Was not a bad concept at all, but it's got to be done right. And I think, you know, Vibe just like failed.
Just like I'm doing the retroactive hip hop awards, maybe you should do like the 2020 awards with the real categories. And, you know,
man, you know, I don't listen to enough music to do 20. Yeah.
I mean, but it don't have to be all music. Like I said, it can be some athletes, it can be the TV shows, it can just be the shit that you like.
They'll call me an old hater. Because that's exactly what I'll be doing.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, you get your skirt ass out of here, man. We don't.
Yo, when I watched Narcos, did you watch Narcos?
Nah, not yet.
Man, I watched Narcos Mexico season 2. That, from all intents and purposes, I'm sure, is set place in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Man, what was that episode like 2 or 3, and fucking Quavo's on it.
Yo, is that, you know what? Somebody put a clip or something like on like
that
on Twitter.
I put it on Instagram. He was like, "Nah, you got to whip it like a stir fry."
Yeah. I saw. You know what? I saw that on your IG, and I thought it was a joke.
Nah, that's Narcos. Nah. I'm like, but people didn't even look like. All right, man. Okay.
You got on fake gazelles and gold chains and tattoos on your face. That wasn't the 80s.
No, you'd have been committed if you had tattoos on your face in the 80s.
Oh, God, it's crazy.
You realize how wild we thought Dennis Rodman was? Right. All he did was dye his hair blonde.
And he's tame now compared to some people. Tattoos, piercings, and, you
he's
know.
He's an investment broker.
Man, we get it. You know what? That's a great place to end it right here, man. So we're going to put a bow on this one, man. Before we get out of here, I know you're not any longer on Twitter, but tell me where they can find you at, where they can find the podcast.
Listen, I'm no longer on Twitter, but all of my tweets.
Do you miss Twitter at all?
Of course I do.
Do you really? Oh, look at y'all. It's everybody. All together, folks.
Yeah, man, the Kleck got something to say. So, even I mean, my tweets are still dope, and I get plenty of content on there. So, at I am eclectic, at one gotta go, at tweet rhymes life. Go, man, hit the media, scroll down, and enjoy yourself. Eclectic Discussion Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Encyclopedia Hip Hop Podcast. Same places. Instagram at eclectic. Shut up.
he's much better on Instagram than he ever was on Twitter.
I'm trying to get my Encyclopedia Hip Hop Instagram doing some stuff, so you can also follow that. But you know, hit me up, and if you like what we up to, just hit me up on one of them. Be like, what can I get some more? I'll be the plug.
There it is. And you guys know where to find me. You've been listening long enough. All streaming services that where you can find the podcast free. That's where I will be. So that's going to wrap it up, man. The 1995 Source Awards in the bag. So for my man Eclectic, I'm your boy 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys on the next go round. 5,000.
Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes.
If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle Podcast. Hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before. From nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between, the 12 Kyle Podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle Podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time.